been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast, which means it's a podcast about your favorite NFL team in the world. That's right. Ravens Nation worldwide, going all over the place, and we are getting ready for this week's matchup up against the Patriots. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, it has been a bye week. The Ravens are rested up, going to Seattle, coming home, enjoying themselves, and putting their feet up a little bit. Joining me, as always, we didn't lose him at the trade deadline. He's still here. Josh, what's going on, man?
No trades made at the deadline as far as the call is concerned. You still have me and Brandon, but all is quiet on the NFL trade front other than what we've done a couple weeks ago. But glad to be back, Brandon. How was your bye week, man?
You know, bye week was good, and enjoyed chilling out a little bit. But are you surprised the Ravens were kind of quiet at this trade deadline? I mean, they made a couple moves a couple weeks ago, but really nothing blockbuster, nothing crazy. Ravens remained quiet today. Are you surprised?
Only because it was known that they would probably be active, but of course that's fans and media alike, right? So I feel that the Ravens are probably in the market for a pass rusher. I wouldn't even say probably they were in the market for a pass rusher. And all reports were, you know, and it wasn't just the Ravens, man. It was across the whole NFL total day as the trade deadline got closer to 4 p.m. this evening. No big splashes were made. The Rams were the only other one active, where they shipped off their other corner, Akeem Talib, to Miami for a few picks. So apart from that, all the trades have been, you know, a few weeks prior, but you have to feel good, Brandon, looking back at what the Ravens did, man. You know, they trade, you know, Kenny Young and virtually the same draft pick that they got for a kicker who's no longer kicking at the moment, basically a free pick, right? And they get Marcus Peters, and what a crazy addition that was. He made an impact right away in a pick six against Russell Wilson, Seattle. So you have to really feel good that paid dividends right away, immediately.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. I mean, we saw what this guy was able to come in and do. It's exactly what the Ravens wanted out of him. And let's touch a little bit about that Seahawks game. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but I got to tell you, man, I mean, this might be the most important regular season game that we have seen in a very long time. I think this is kind of the exclamation point at the end of the question or the statement that people are making of whether or not Lamar Jackson is a legitimate contender. Is he the guy? And after that Seahawks performance, I think everybody has to say yes, because I mean, Lamar came in there. He was able to command the field. He showed leadership, and it was an absolutely stunning game to watch. I mean, I wasn't expecting a win. You weren't expecting a win. This is something that we're both happy to see. But Lamar Jackson went in there, made a statement, and he pretty much said, "Hey, I'm the guy now."
But dude, it was unexpected. Like, obviously, me and you both predicted a loss, and I thought it was going to be a close game. When they were going back and forth, I was getting a little frustrated, right? And I was frustrated with Lamar, and really reaching back, and obviously looking at the game holistically. You have to feel good with the Ravens' body work, what they were able to get accomplished. What I felt, you're right, was one of probably the most important regular season road wins. You know, if you want to break down home and away or they're 5-1 at the time, where the mantra was, oh, the Ravens really haven't played anybody, just like the Patriots haven't played anybody, and here you go, quality opponent. Well, that monkey's off their back, because this season's got a lot of questions answered for us, right? Week one, you know, going in it, can Lamar throw? Can he stop running? Well, he had a perfect pass rating of 5 touchdowns over 300 yards. That put that to rest. And then it put it to rest also because we have weapons. Then you fast forward to the Seahawks game. Well, can the Ravens get a win with a quality opponent on the road, sloppy weather? Not only did they do it, but they did it soundly by 2 touchdowns. So it just was incredible how they overcame that. And I felt like this was their most complete performance. There was a lot of, you know, things that left you wonder, right? The 2 field goals deep in territory. And you're like, come on, you guys got to trade. You can't keep trading field goals for touchdowns or touchdowns for field goals, I should say. And the problem I had there, but you had to like what you've seen coming out of this. As we, you know, touched on earlier, Marcus Peters, immediate impact, right? And pick 6 against a quality opponent, but you had to feel good about that, how close the game was there, and that broke the game open. But, dude, I don't even want to focus on anything but here. Lamar Jackson actually grew up tremendously in this game. When I say grew up, I mean leadership-wise. I saw things out of him in this game that were just like it was almost like Ray Lewis, like, and you might go, whoa, back it up. Are you putting Lamar and Ray in the same sentence? I'm saying gravitational leadership. He basically he showed me this past week, yeah, obviously the bye week out, but these past 2 weeks, just having to chew and dissect this and just really gushing over what happened, man. 2 instances, right? Where I think they were probably, depends on what happens the remainder of the year, they could be season-changing moments. I want to hear your thoughts, man. When they went down for field goal number 3, before the timeout, before the crazy play happened, and we'll break it down, what were your thoughts, man? Were you kind of like, oh, here we go again, or were you like, all right, take the points at this point?
I mean, I'm always one for take the points, but at the same time, I'm also thinking, you know, here we go again, same old, same old. This is kind of what we expected this team to do. It's, you know, it's Seattle, it's the West Coast. This isn't going to be a win, so just get the game over with. But obviously, the Ravens had different plans, and Lamar had different plans. He wanted the ball, and they played a full game, and that's something we haven't seen from the Ravens in a very long time. They played both sides of the ball. Special teams did what they had to do, and they played a full 60 minutes, and that was really surprising because we haven't seen those Ravens in a very long time.
No, we sure haven't. And you know what we haven't seen in a very long time is, you know, that sort of leadership, that kind of leadership with, you know, left with Ray and Ed Reed, right? It was like you just didn't see that. And I don't know about you, but I was frustrated. I thought they were kicking number 3. I was throwing a fit. I didn't really understand they were calling timeout until I came to and was like, wait a minute, they called timeout. They're going for it. What? And then when not only did they go for it and get it, but they got the score, and it was Lamar's number call, man. And you sent it to me this week and all that and the quote. But I don't know, and I'm still getting chills right now talking about it, man. When you watch that video of that sound, dialogue on the sideline, I can't help but just smile big and just get – I almost get excited as Ray. You know, if Ray was speaking or something, you might think that's absolutely crazy. But, Brandon, there's 2 words that I hung on. When he said, let's go. That, to me, showed a leader. He consulted – Harbaugh not only consulted number 8, but then number 8 turned around and pointed to his all-pro lineman, Marshall Yanda. You know, it was like, hey, do you want to go for it? Hey, and everybody was consulting. Everybody got excited, and even Harbaugh, he put on number 8, right? He said, no, we're not going to hand it to Ingram. We're not going to have you do a play action, throw it. Hey, you want to go for it? It's your call. It's your numbers being called. And not only did they go, but Greg Roman called a great play to stack the right side and to really open that hole for Lamar to run through and get the score. And that was the turning point in the game. And he grew in leadership in that. You have to feel so excited. You know, you got to lay everything to rest right now. He is just leading this team week after week, man. And he just sort of surprised me. And another thing that sure that leadership quality is, you know, something that you've heard me discuss before about the passion and showing it and kind of why, you know, I've always mentioned Tom Brady in that regard, our next opponent, is he's shown that. You know, and when Lamar wanted the ball and it got snapped and it didn't happen, and right. he kind of, you know, jumped up and down and slammed the ball. Dude, you have to love that, because that shows fire. It shows leadership. He was really, really pissed off at that point. And just, Brandon, you have to be excited about what you see in Lamar with those two plays right there. And I know the false start, or, you know, delay of game, actually, I was just saying, it wasn't a play, but it was that moment. Those two key moments of, you know, going for it and getting it and getting frustrated with that non-snap, and he wanted the ball. It just shows how hungry he is, and you can see it every single play and every single week. Well, it's exciting, man.
100%, but you're leaving one big part out of that delay of game, is that after he jumped up and down, after he kind of spiked the ball, he was ticked off, he hit the helmet of the center. And it was kind of like, come on, let's do this, let's go. And then he doesn't get it, and he kind of slapped the guy's head. And it wasn't as in a, come on, what are you thinking? Get your head in the game. It was, all right, let's go to the next play. He didn't wallow. He didn't go, oh, why didn't we get that? This is all your fault. He actually was able, he composed himself after, you know, he showed that he wanted it, and then he just moved on, which is what you have in a good leader. You don't let, you know, one mistake define the game. He let it go, and then he went, all right, on to the next play. That's a true leader right there, and that's something absolutely great to see.
Couldn't agree with you more, man, and I'm happy that you brought that up. It's another underlying point here that's lost. Yeah, the win was beautiful, but what was more even beautiful is it doesn't matter. You don't need to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns every game and go out there and ball out, man. You do those kind of little things and gain the respect not only of the coaching staff, but your teammates. They're going to trust you. And right now, they're sitting pretty with the bye week with that win. That was a huge win going into that bye week. Not only have a confidence, but, you know, just looking at the body work over these last 2 weeks, right? You get the win. Minimum injuries, from what I can see. You have 2 weeks to heal. Sunday night in Baltimore, you should have Marquise and Peanut back and Jimmy Smith back. So you get three key components to your team, all back, all healthy, all hands on deck. You know, Marcus Peters, you know, getting acclimated. It's going to be his first home game. Dude, it's just, man, like, you have to feel good, because looking at it, right, you know, with the shape up of the AFC North, if the Ravens were to lose that, do you realize that their lead would be essentially like 1.5 games, mm-hmm. if that were the case? So that just shows you the magnitude of this win and setting themselves apart, because, ever so we know the aftermath, right? But fast forwarding it, Brandon, I have to ask you about this, you know, just recapping the bye week and what happened, but yeah, I know with our game, you know, it was kind of like a shared success, right? And also snickering at our opponents, because, you know, the Browns were up 20-3 on the same team and let them come back, and they ultimately lost the game. We just took it to them and handled them at the end. And Brandon, just looking at the Seahawks game in general, dude, you have to feel so great, man, because it was, what, 13-13 at the half, right? Wasn't it tied at the half?
Right, yeah.
I remember. Yeah, so, and you have to feel good that the Seahawks only scored 3 points the rest of the game, and that 3 points was kind of a measly, I think, a field goal in the fourth quarter, because they were down a few scores. Because, I mean, and just looking at it, picking about highlights, man, how about Marmar, man? That's what some of these fans are calling him. Marlon Humphrey, baby, and just being around the ball, making another game-changing play. Scoop, fumble, return for a touchdown. That just, dude, this team, man. And how long have we been hungry for that, right? Is on defense where we need those game-changing plays. And we got one at Pittsburgh a few weeks ago, and we just got one in Seattle. Actually, two is the pick six. So it's bringing that back a little bit. It's uncharacteristic, because the offense has been making plays. We're waiting for that defense to make plays. And not only that, but I know we're all discussing trade deadline and pass rush, but did they not pressure Russell Wilson a good bit on Sunday and got to him? I was kind of pleased with LJ Fort and Josh Bynes. They've been a crazy addition to the linebackers.
You got to remember, our Ravens defense outscored the Seahawks. The defense did that.
That's true. 7-3.
That's right.
14-3. can't forget about the fumble, right?
That's right. That's right. So
14-3.
That sets up a great halfway point for this season. The Ravens are going to be up against the Patriots.
Scoring defense in their own right. Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Patriots are going to be facing their toughest opponents yet against Baltimore. And I mean, even though the Seahawks are a fantastic team, it's going to be a huge deal for the Patriots to come in here. This is going to be a must-see game. It's a good thing they picked this one for Sunday night. Are you a little offended that this is the first primetime game of the year for the Ravens? Because we've seen the Browns at night under the lights a lot this year, and it doesn't really seem to be panning out for them. But halfway through, and this is the Ravens' first game at night that isn't a preseason game.
You can say I'm disappointed, man, but not really, because if you're going to have a first primetime debut at this point in the season, mm-hmm. how about this one? This don't get any better than the setup right now. Patriots undefeated, coming in the from Foxborough to Baltimore. You know, it's going to be a war, and just the makeup of not only what the Ravens season, but what this can mean for the AFC going forward in this year. You know, how many times have we seen the Ravens-Steelers rivalry be a somewhat on a 4 o'clock or a primetime game? Both of those games, and now with this, the state of the Steelers, wouldn't even happen anyway. But what if you think about, you know, going through the season, right? We probably knew New England was going to have a good record coming in here, let alone undefeated. Probably had a tiny bit of an inkling given their scheduling, right? And with the Ravens at 5-2, bye week, the huge win in Seattle, you know, they just took care of the Browns' force and embarrassed them. And they're coming in, dude, this is going to be, this reminds me of old school, AFC North football. It's kind of like the Patriots should just kind of like be that fifth divisional team, right? Because I feel like, you know, it's that other rivalry. If it's not our division, those three divisional opponents, I feel like they're our fourth rival. Because how many times do we have these regular season wars and the postseason wars and the title games and the divisional games and just, you know, going back and forth, that can bring out so many memories. But hey, if we're gonna have a first win, this is gonna be a doozy, dude. Under the lights, national stage, Lamar Jackson against this defense, Tom Brady against us, black jerseys. I mean, Ed Reed's Hall of Fame ceremony halftime, dude. It's like, can we just get this week over with, man? Oh man, whew.
This is going to be a great one, and you brought it up earlier in the show, but there's a good chance that we're going to have three of injured players back on the field in Hollywood and Peanut Owosso and Jimmy Smith. How much of an advantage do the Ravens have having those three guys back? Because, I mean, you definitely felt like the offense had to rearrange itself when Marquise Hollywood Brown was not playing, but having him back, I mean, he's going to be able to stretch the field, yet another target for Lamar to throw to. What's it going to be like having those three guys back on the field? Well, because I also forgot to mention Jimmy Smith coming back. I mean, this is kind of a new defense for him. There's been a couple of additions, a couple subtractions, so this is not the same team that he had when he got hurt week one.
And now he's just adding to the fray, right? You got, you know, Brandon Carr there. You know, it's just going to really bode well for the secondary just to be that much more stronger and cohesive. And everybody's like, well, where are you going to fit him in? Oh, trust me, the Ravens will fit them in where they need to. And I already think that Marcus Peters will be in there a lot more than what we probably anticipate. They're going to do that rotation style, right? Whether they're man or zone, it's going to work out.
I mean, that's good to see. You want your strongest team, your most powerful team up against the Patriots and against Tom Brady. Let me ask you about Tom Brady. I mean, he's on a 1-year contract right now. He sold his house in Massachusetts. His trainer sold his house in Massachusetts. Is this the last time we're going to see Tom Brady in Baltimore?
I think that I'm not even going to go as far as the house sales. I think it is anyway, because they usually come here, what, every 8 years? So obviously Brady's not going to play another eight. He probably could, but not really. I just think this is why this game's even special, because if any Ravens fans, obviously we already know everybody's like, oh, I hate Tom Brady, just, we get it, right? But if you're that football fan and really appreciate the greatness and all that, and hey, this is the last time to see the legend himself in person in Baltimore, and hopefully we can send him out with a big old fat L in style in the first one in the loss column this year would be fantastic. But, you know, love or hate him, whatever, you know, fan, no fan, you know, he's done great things since entering this league, and hey, no one could take it from him, right? He's a six-time winner and most all-time at this point, and they're the defending champs, and we got to take him out. And but your eyes just feel like it's, you know, with that being said, obviously his last game here regardless, unless something crazy happened and we ended up getting home field or something throughout the playoffs and they came here. But that's another scenario that's a long shot. But, you know, regarding his house sales, I heard that thrown around, man. I don't know what to make of it. Maybe it could be he's preparing for his life after football, and he's kind of like getting ahead of that now, and then maybe he's going to play another year or two in New England. Who knows? It doesn't look good. Obviously, just calling it what it is, like, okay, it's no different than if a Ravens player sold his house and, okay, what you doing, bud? Like, same thing, right? You put him, you just move it to a Ravens scenario. But I don't think it's anything, but it is something to monitor, I guess, if you really want to, you know, look into that situation. I've heard a lot of scenarios thrown around that that there was actually, speaking of that scenario, and a media member was interviewed from Boston on one of the Ravens or Baltimore's media stations, and he was actually saying he wouldn't be surprised if Brady actually played his career out somewhere else.
Oh,
and then wouldn't that be crazy? I mean, hey, you know, we know Ed Reed did it. We know Suggs is doing it now. You know, Johnny Unitas did it. He was in a Chargers uniform. Joe Montana did it. He was in a Chiefs uniform. Peyton Manning was in a Broncos uniform. And we know what Brett Favre did. So unretire, retire again, and play for a couple teams there in Jets and Vikings. So, you know, it can happen, right? I don't foresee it happening in that way, but maybe because Brady feels like he's taking care of himself and the Patriots don't want to do that. They kind of want to move on to the future. I don't know. It's a great discussion for a rainy day. I've always said at the juncture Brady's at in his career with the team, maybe just go year to year, right? You know, it's no different than a month-to-month tenant in renting an apartment, right? And instead of locking in long-term, why don't we go month-to-month or year-to-year to see how this goes? And then if you feel like retiring, go ahead, you know? And you know, I don't know what his deal structure is. Again, I would have to look that up, Brandon, but it's something to really think about. But I feel like he's on his last legs anyway, and you know, this is the last time you're probably going to see him around, and it's going to be a marquee matchup for the ages. And we got to stop him. There's nothing fans or butts about that.
I mean, really, you got to think about history. I mean, you guys know me. If you listen to last year and all the history that was made last year with the Ravens, I love those kind of moments. So to think that Tom Brady, who, let's face it, this is his league. He has been dominant in his entire career. And to think that this will be the last time you see him play in Baltimore, that's something special because, I mean, the Ravens had to go through the Patriots how many years to get to the Super Bowl or to get through the playoffs. Everything went through New England. So, I mean, this is history if this is the last time. Now, I didn't want to bring this up until maybe like the end of the show, but since we're talking about history and last moments or whatever, we've kind of stayed away from talking about Joe Flacco this year. Not on purpose, but just for the sheer fact that he's not a Raven anymore. There's no really real big reason to bring him up. They're not facing the Broncos this year. So Joe came out on a press conference and kind of didn't badmouth the coach, but gave some less than favorable comments about his coaching staff. And then on Monday, he's placed on IR for having a neck issue. Now, if you watched the game on Sunday, you saw Joe Flacco getting worked on in the third quarter and fourth quarter on his neck. Now, let's just say the rookie quarterback that is behind him does really well for the rest of the year. They're a 2-6 team right now. Not great for Denver. Not great for Joe. But since we are talking about last and history, could this be the last time we've already seen it. Could this be a Joe Flacco-less NFL next year? Could we have seen the end of Joe Flacco already? Because, I mean, while he was a Raven, he had a messed up knee. He had a messed up back. He had a messed up hip. Now he's got a messed up neck. He didn't perform as they would hope in Denver. I assume they might let him go after this year if this rookie quarterback does well. Will anybody pick him up? He's an old guy. So could this be the last time we've seen Joe Flacco?
Bringing up a great, great question. And it's not only that, and I agree out of respect, right? Because now it's the team's moving forward, what you said, right? You know, and people backlash at me for always, you know, chiming in and bringing them up for different reasons, right? I'm not going to sit here and, you know, justify them to you because obviously it's not warranted. I'll get into that after I answer your question. But, you know, but from the perspective of, you know, bringing that up, obviously, it's a great point. I personally think that given what you just brought up, right, you know, him being fiery at the podium, his neck issue, the team's record, where he's at in his career, he's oft injured, he's old, he's been there, he's a journeyman, or not a journeyman, because journeyman's different teams, but I'm, for lack of better words, I'm thinking, like, yeah, he's a veteran, right? He's been there. His career's, you know, and towards the end, I don't think this is it, but you have to wonder, with a quarterback at his age, with the injuries, you know, piling up late, it's just almost like since that knee injury, he's never been right. Remember, no. The knee came back, and then how about the back issue? Remember, it was like he was fine, and all of a sudden it was like week one, it was like, oh, Joe's got a back issue. I'm like, where did this come from? And then with the, and then last year with the ankle, and then now the neck, it's like, geez, man, you know, he's just working his way around the body. But, I don't know. It's a tough situation. I say no. We don't see the last of him, only because I feel like he probably has a little bit in the tank if he can get healed up, get behind a good line. But there are other factors that are lying there. Like, again, oft injured, old, what kind of the money is he going to command? You know, and there's obviously room for him, right? There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks right now, sure. And I think he would fit in. But my problem, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't want to spend a whole, you know, 20 minutes on our podcast. Again, Flacco deserves it, right? I mean, he's done a lot for this franchise. I was, you know, excited to meet him a few times here. I had great interactions with him. Dude, he's a Super Bowl MVP for the team. You know, he's got a lot of team records. He was the best stinking quarterback we've had in this franchise, right? So, you know, he's earned that respect. He's earned his due. And I'm sure when his playing time's done, immediately in the near future, he will be in that Ring of Honor. So he's going to get his due. I only say he won't. I feel like it's a yes and no, right? I'm going to give him both answers. I feel like he wouldn't be in the league just because he is oft injured and old and that. But there's a problem I've seen. And when I did, Brandon, I watched since been through the games, but I did watch the Broncos and the Colts, not only for I only seen Joe Flacco at a full game since week one in Monday Night Football this time. It was obvious I'm going to see if they can beat the Colts and do us a favor as well. Didn't happen. They were close. But what I saw was an issue with Flacco that I've had here over the recent years. And this is probably where it leads me to be more excited about seeing what Lamar can do. Joe, I feel like, holds on to the football way too long, and his pocket awareness is zero. Like, you got to know what's around you. You got to know how many seconds there are. I mean, really. I mean, your line can only keep them at bay for so long. And I feel like, whether it was cosplayed, he can get mad at his coaching staff. But I'm like, look, if you're a leader, this is where you're seeing the differences of Lamar versus Flacco, right? I don't think Joe, and this is kind of sad, right? And speaking of that, I'm not going to sit here and get into Joe versus Lamar debate. It's not warranted, right? They're both totally different people with two totally different skill sets, right? And but, you know, in his tenure, did Harbaugh consult Joe in the manner that he did with Lamar and said, do you want to go for it? I don't remember those instances. Unless they were on the sidelines, hush-hush, they weren't as known as that. I don't know if that's ever happened, and you have to go, you know, not saying Joe wasn't a leader, but it's like that was an issue. But then it's like, where's the confidence, right? I feel like he's using – I don't know, man. It's a loaded thing, but I feel like – his comments were good, and they were spot on because, right, you know, why aren't they being aggressive? They're such record. They suck. He called them out. Like, we shouldn't. He had the fire that Lamar had, but it was after the fact. Like, you know, but then it's also changed that. If you want to be leader, then okay. Then if my line sucks, I'm going to get blitzed. I'm going to call quick passes and counter that. You know, other teams do it. You know, if they know their quarterback can't get the ball and their line sucks, like the Bengals have done it for years against the team. Why can't we get pressure? Well, why don't you look at how many seconds the quarterback's holding the ball versus he gets it out? They're countering our blitz by calling a quick pass, and that's hot potato. So that's an issue I've always had with him for years. He holds on the ball too long, and it's showing, especially now that he's out of the Raven uniform and on another team, and you can see it. It's the same issues, different teams. So I'm not saying he was the problem. It's a common denominator, but that's what I've had a problem with, and that's why I was ready for the change, because it's like he didn't show that fire. Now, again, with his post-game conferences, I do agree with him. You know, he was fed up. Something's got to give. He was frustrated not only with his play, the line, the game was lost for him. I hope we haven't seen the last of him. Maybe he can get healthy and he can give a shot here for one more stint. But I think we are seeing the last years, or at least we probably are, Dan. Who knows? But I would hope he's if he's not in the Bronco uniform next year, hopefully he's somewhere else. And we can see him, do some things for a team. I still think he's got something to prove. But whether he can lead a team to playoffs, that remains to be said, because there's a lot of moving parts. He's a certain skill set, you know, and he's got to have that certain kind of offense to be run. So, but you hate to see it, man. It's been a rough last few years for him, with hurting and being benched in IR. And you have to feel for him, right? But it's just my take. It's my two sense, and people can agree and disagree how they want, but the proof's in the facts. I mean, look at him. You can't hold the ball for how much long? I mean, Lamar senses pressure, and then he's gone. I mean, you know, it's just how it is. Totally different skill set, totally different team. I wish Joe the best, and it just really sucks to see if that's it, the sun setting that way, and hopefully that's not the last memory that we see in Joe Flacco in the NFL. Let's hope not, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's just a sucky way to go.
Yeah, as a Ravens fan, we've got plenty of great memories with Joe Flacco.
Sure do.
With Denver, I can't see him staying in Denver after this season. No. I don't think he's the answer they were looking for. But, I mean, I'm like you said, there are other teams out there that are in need of quarterbacks, so I think he could get a job. But is it the smartest thing for him at his stage in his career?
Well, why did Luck hang it up, right? And why did Luck hang it up? He was oft injured.
Right.
And he said he lost the fire. I'm not saying Joe Flacco hasn't lost the fire, but it's like at one point you just say, you know what? Like you just brought it up, right? Your health. You know, at one point you're like, dude, you know, if I get behind another bad line, I might be really screwed up. So it's, you know, what if he gets pounded in a turf and gets a major concussion, or, you know, breaks his shoulder or something? I mean, just, yeah, he's still way young, right? He's got a family. He's got, you know, a big, huge family. You know, he's done everything in NFL, right? It's, you know, it's not like he's going to get his team there and go win another one. It's like, you know, what more does he have left to prove other than to himself? And only he can answer that question. But it does make you wonder, you know, why did Luck hang it up early? You know, and he was oft injured, and those kind of, when he was like saying in his press conference, you know, rehab, you know, get healthy, you know, do it again. It was like a vicious cycle. And he goes, it was just so mundane. He's like, he lost the passion for him. And you know, Joe's comments are right on, man. I felt for him. Mm-hmm. I listened to it in full, and I was like, spot on, because I was pissed. I'm like, again, you know, I was even saying, like, and I, not only with the Broncos, but I see it with all teams, especially with the Ravens. You know, not even with the Ravens being at 4-2 playing the Seahawks, but you know, I was fed up. Just how Joe was fed up with his coaching staff and the result of the game and everything. Dude, I was fed up when I saw us going out for another field goal. I'm like, you cannot win a football game like this. And I was fired up. Then you know what? I don't know who heard somebody. Somebody heard me from Baltimore, because coach called a timeout. He consulted Lamar. Lamar's asking Yonda, hey, let's go for it. He goes out and they get it. And I'm like, that's the same. See, here's the difference, right? Remember how they use that aggressiveness in Kansas City, but it ended up being way too much?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt like they got ahead of themselves there. They showed us what they can do, and they're not backing down. Harbaugh even warned us. He goes, it's not going to be the last time we're going to do that. But I felt like at the Seahawks game, it was the right moment and the right call. I felt like when they got out early on the Chiefs and they were doing all this stupid stuff, they showed their hand way too fast and way too often, and it ended up being their demise. And then they finally reeled it back in the second half of the Kansas City game, reverting back weeks ago. And then it was too little too late. Here, they did it right. Something had to change. The game was really close. And then they were like, no, we're not going to win this game, taking another field goal. And Lamar was even saying, that's not how we're going to win. And they just went and took it. And that same, and unfortunately, it sucks that Joe had that injury, right? Because I feel like if he was healthy, maybe the Broncos can learn from his comments. Like, and especially learn from what Lamar did in Harbaugh, calling the timeout and going for it. Like, in the NFL, you got to make your own way. You know, sometimes the game, you got to make it happen. And that's the lesson I think we learned from this is, you know, you can sit there and kick field goals and take the points all you want, play the game analytics, but no, you know, sometimes you got to say, you know what? No, you know, the fans might be on my butt, or, you know, the analytics might say not, but sometimes you just gut feeling says, you know what? I want to call the timeout. I'm going to get my quarterback and say, hey, you want to go? Let's go. You go get it. And the confidence just went up from there. And that's the kind of confidence I think the Ravens are going to carry into this Patriots matchup, man. I think the Patriots have been ultra aggressive in that game. They just did it against the Browns. It was 4th and 7, and the Patriots lined up because they were in that weird field position, right? It was too long for a field goal, but punting, it was like in that in-between where it's like you're still going to get them on the 20 anyway. You only lose net 30 yards, maybe 25 yards. Why don't we just go for it? You know, and they came with the ball. It was that kind of matchup. They felt good with their defense, and they got it. Brady threw it. It was a first down, and then they went down and scored. You know, so it was like, you know, same thing. It was at some point you just got to take the game and go, you know what, we're going to go, and we're going to go win it here, and we're going to show you that we mean business. And, you know, in wrapping that conversation around in full, I think, you know, we can learn from both instances. But, man, you know, we are all excited for him, right? Getting into a new start, new uniform. And, you know, but again, any former player, just like with Suggs, you know, he's with the Cardinals, you know, we wish him a good year, right? But at the same respect, it's, you know, unless they're playing us, right? But, you know, but it's all going to come their due. They were Ravens for life, and they're going to retire Raven. And even that, you know, how many former players have come here, whether they've spent their whole career here, most of the career here, or just part of the career here? How many players come back and say he retires a Raven? Bolden just did it, you know? And I feel like looking back his career, he played more for the Cardinals than he did us, I believe, you know? And it speaks about the respect of not only the franchise, but what they accomplished here. Bolden won his title here. And the retires a Raven, that means a lot. And Joe's going to get it as soon as he hangs him up. They're going to have that one-day contract press conference, and Joe Flacco is going to retire as a Raven, and we're going to be excited. He's going to be inducted to the Ring of Honor, and we're going to be flipping fantastic. It's going to be great. And but right now, you know, he's doing his journey out west, and you know, it's the Lamar era, and we're having fun here, man. And it's been nothing but great. And you know, this matchup, you know, just looking at it, you know, just looking at the nuances on paper, dude, how crazy has this Patriots defense been? You know, did you hear the stat this week that if the Patriots defense didn't score, and if you take the offense off the field in that game for the Patriots, they would be 3-3-1. That's how good their defense is scoring right now.
That's kind of wild.
It is wild. So it's just, I'm saying, like, they're 8-0 record. They're beatable. I'm not saying you're getting lucky. I mean, yeah, they're playing bad teams, but if you watch some of their highlights and games, and my dad's even got them in fantasy football, it's ridiculous, their defense, what they're doing. And they're averaging a touchdown a game, holding people to like 10 points, you know, holding teams to 10 points. It's one of those crazy things. And that's why I'm excited to see, because how this defense is playing right now. Granted, they're undefeated, and you know what's crazy is the level of play that their defense is playing right now. It's absolutely ridiculous. And what I'm excited to see is the chess match, right? You know, this Patriots defense trying to scheme for Lamar, and this offense, it's going to be one for the ages. And I don't know if you heard Bill Belichick's comments, but they were high praise again. You know, he was asked about Lamar, and he said he's a problem. Mm-hmm. He's definitely a problem. And hey, you know, it's a good problem to have, right? And I felt like, he's earning the same respect as Ed Reed did, right? When the Patriots played Ravens with Ed Reed, it was the same thing. Kind of funny, fitting how Ed Reed's going to be, a part of this game in some fashion. You know, he's being recognized at halftime for his Hall of Fame induction, but and that's going to be special. And he's going to be at the tailgate I'll be at, and we'll get to that later. But it's the same thing. You have to account for that player. You know, the Patriots, even on Tom Brady's wrist thing, or his play sheet on his wrist, he said, account for number 20, find number 20, and the same thing. They're going to have to account for number 8, and this is what I'm excited to see. And do the Ravens have a counter for that? Because you know what Belichick likes to do, right? He takes what you do best and eliminates it. He suppresses it, saying, you know what, you're not going to do that. How many times when, you know, AB was on the – back when he was on the Steelers and the Steelers played – no, the Patriots, and you didn't hear anything out of Antonio Brown. Why? Because they like triple teamed him all night, and they say, you know what? We're going to take what you do best, eliminate. You're going to beat us another way. And I'm excited to see that, because now with the confidence that Lamar has with the throwing now, not only with the running ability, and we have other running backs who can do it, right? Not just him. And with everybody getting healthy, it's just that much more crazy where, okay, if you're going to put a container on Lamar and not have him run out, okay, then maybe the play action will be there. But everybody's got to step up, man, and including Mark Andrews. I hope he finds his hands this week, because that was awful last week or 2 weeks ago.
Mark Andrews definitely had a rough game in Seattle.
Rough.
I want to contribute a lot of that towards it raining and him not changing out his gloves. They made a big deal on the broadcast that Lamar was changing out his cleats between three different sets. So I'm hoping Mandrews is switching out his gloves if he needs it on Sunday. So hopefully that's all it was. I'm excited to see what he can do. We know he's Lamar's favorite target. So like you said, the Patriots have come out and they said that Lamar Jackson is a problem. And that's a good thing for the Ravens, that Lamar Jackson is a problem. But the Patriots defense also is a huge problem for the Ravens. So
not Tom Brady, it's the Patriots D.
I mean, everything. About the Patriots is a problem. And they have to prepare and play at 100% on both sides of the ball. But this is a very strong offense for the Ravens. And having Hollywood Brown back is going to be a great coup for the Ravens. But what do they have to do going in here to make sure? Because I feel like this defense is going to surround Lamar Jackson as quickly as possible. They're going to not give him time to throw. So what does this offensive line have to do to make sure that Lamar has time to let plays happen, to have him create plays for himself? And we've seen, you know, some great talent this year. Ronnie Stanley's having just one of the best years of his career right now. What does this offense have to do to make sure that the Ravens can get down the field and get into that end zone?
Well, I say they pray that they hold their blocks long enough and not hold and create stupid penalties. Let's hope that that's out there. But I feel like they got a scheme right, you know, and have the right schemes in place and the right blocking for the play called. Now, if it's Lamar wanting to roll out, you know, protect as such, and you know, and what I foresee happening really here is the line really giving Lamar time for the play actions for the quick hitters. You know, if I see Marquise coming back in the game, I see them running a kind of a scheme what they did against the Dolphins, and you might go, well, the Dolphins defense and the Patriots defense are on the same level. We get that, but I mean, like calling the quick slants. I don't think the Ravens are going to be able to put Lamar back there, have a clean enough pocket for him to zing the ball 50 yards down the field. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be one of those, the like how Marquise scored on that one. Draw it back. You think Lamar's going to run it. He does a quick play action. He freezes the linebackers long enough. Marquise gets into that behind the linebackers. He throws it quick, and I think quick plays are going to be it. You're probably going to see a lot of Justice Hill in this game, perhaps. Screen passes, quick plays. I think that's because this defense is quick. They're not only good, but they're quick. Their linebacking cores are quick. Everybody's fast. So I feel like the Ravens are going to have to beat them with the same kind of thing. And the Ravens got to be fast. I don't think you're going to see Lamar back there really being comfortable. I think it's going to be a lot of, you know, get the ball, shotgun, roll out kind of deals. You're going to see, you know, a lot of draw plays with Ingram. I think Hill's going to be worked in. The tight end's over the middle. I don't think you're going to see – and that's how I see it playing. I think it's going to be that methodical – very strategic offense and not out there winging the ball long and putting yourself a lot of third, second, and third and longs, because this defense is going to feast and it's going to be a long day. And I feel like the Ravens not only have to do that to counter that defense, but that line's got to really run block, because, I think a concern of mine was how good Lamar is outside, and even Bill Belichick alluded to it. None of their defensive ends are quick enough to get to him. So I don't know how they're planning on attacking him in that regard, but he's saying that no one can simulate that. No one can really catch up to him. So he's basically saying that at least on the defensive front, no one on his team can get him or stay pace with that if he gets out loose on the end. So, but I feel like the interior run game's got to be there for the Ravens. It hasn't been there in recent weeks, where you kind of seen it, right? In Seattle, Ingram had a few good runs, right? He had that great run on spin move to get a first down, but the interior runs haven't been there, and it's been there with Lamar getting outside. So I feel like if they can go off tackle and get outside, I don't know, again, with the Patriots' defensive schemes here, I feel like if they're going to limit it outside, maybe see how inside is going to work this time. It's going to be a good cat and mouse game to see, but the line's got to hold. It's got to hold, because if this pocket breaks down, you're going to see a whole lot of Lamar running it, not improvised. It's going to be just like by sheer instinct, because it's either that or take a sack, and we can't have that happen. So, let's hope for the best there. I don't want to see a lot of Lamar running for his life because of the coverages break down on the line. But if it's expected, we know he's got the wheels to do it.
Are we going to see a lot of Willie Snead, because he just got a new deal, 1 year, $6 million, fully guaranteed extension. He's 27 years old. He was going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, but it looks like he's in Baltimore another year. Can we expect anything from him on Sunday?
Well, I'm excited to see that the Ravens at least made a move to solidify a player. Happy for him to be on this team, learning the schemes. He's been a solid player so far for this team, in a nice addition. He hasn't been that world beater receiver, right? But he's gotten some good plays. And he's that veteran, right? He's a slot veteran who can really, he can be relied on late in games. I'm happy to see that done. I feel like this was a move to move some cap space around, right? This was a kind of a restructure. I'm signing him to a one-year extension for $6 million. I think it was the deferred some money. They were trying to clear up cap space this season to make a move at this trade deadline, which didn't work. But hey, they locked up a good receiver to win anyway, and I feel like he's going to be worked into, as far as the game plan is concerned, definitely be in there, because with Hollywood coming back, we want to see how this week progresses, right? It's early this week. You want to see if the injury report comes out midweek, see how the practice, because these Wednesday through Friday practices are going to tell you all. If we hear limited, was involved, we're good. But if you hear did not practice, if you see any DNPs out there, did not practice, did not participate, we have a huge problem with these players. So monitor that this week, especially with Hollywood and the receiving core. But Snead's going to provide that security blanket, because Boykin has stepped up flashes, hasn't stepped up in full for as far as a full game or a consistent performance. But Snead's that reliable veteran option right now for the receiving core, because Chris Moore's still young. No, and obviously with Hollywood and Boykin being rookies, Snead's a veteran. That's it. So I feel like the Ravens, the receiving core isn't the real best, but they're getting it done. And Lamar's putting it there, making plays, and tight ends help too. We have three great tight ends on this team.
All right, so you brought it up earlier that Tom Brady, back in the day when he was up against Ed Reed, he had it written on his sleeve, always know where number 20 is. Yep. Is there a threat like that on this team right now? Is there somebody on Tom Brady's sleeve where he's going, always know where X number is?
I would say it has to be Earl Thomas, right? Earl Thomas is exactly going to play Ed Reed's position. Not to the extent of Ed Reed, but hey, he's that all-pro safety. He's won a championship. And he's building his Hall of Fame pedigree right now, and he's an all-pro. And I feel like if anybody on the defense is going to be, watch out for Earl Thomas. And now with the addition of Marcus Peters, maybe on the sideline, but I feel like right now anchoring that defense on the back end, I feel like Tom Brady, there's two players I feel like he has to look out for. Judon on the front line and number 29, Earl Thomas on the back end of the defense. And That's two defense. Because now, right, you don't have to worry about Suggs. How many times has Suggs and him have warred also with, like, Suggs and Ben Roethlisberger in the day? And so you don't have to have number 55 in his grill, number 20 back there, 52 in the middle. So, but it's kind of like, oh, Brady's probably like, finally, I get to face a Baltimore defense without any of these three monsters. But, hey, they still got playmakers. They got Marcus Peters. They got Earl Thomas. They got Matt Judon. And I'm really confident with this defense. They can make some plays on them. And cannot forget our MVP of the defense right now, Marlon Humphrey.
Humphrey, absolutely. He is going to be very expensive to keep around. So
Yep. Hopefully
they can do it, but that's down the road. We don't have to worry about that right now. So, I think we've reached that point of the show. Josh, are you ready to give your prediction for the game? Who is walking away with this W, and what's the score going to be?
Who's walking away with this W? How about the back in black Ravens, baby? I'm picking them this time. I have the feeling. I feel like they have the makeup of a holistic team to beat this team as far as the Patriots concerned. It's not going to be a blowout, and if it is, I'll be shocked. When either way, it's an early 3.5-point underdog, so the Ravens are at home against this team, which rightfully so. They're coming in undefeated. They are the defending champs. It is Tom Brady. It's Bill Belichick. They earn that pedigree, and then go for it. Let's play the role of underdogs. But I feel the Ravens are going to pull this one out. They have the ability to do it. They've rested. They were on a bye week. Everybody's healthy. They're energized. This is it. It's Sunday Night Football. Back in black jerseys. It's going to be crazy. National stage, and everybody gets to see this Lamar show. And I really can't wait. And it's going to be rocking down there. Oh my gosh! And then Ed Reed at halftime, just like how Ray did it last year. In his induction, and I'm sure there'll be a giveaway or something in the game. I don't know what's going on, but with that being said, and all wrapped up in the one, Ravens win this one. I'm going to say 24-20.
All right, well, you know what? I'm going to have to go with the GOAT. I'm going to have to go with the GOAT with this one.
You're going with the GOAT.
That means Lamar, that means I'm going with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens winning this one.
See, I knew it. You threw a curveball. I knew it.
It's not going to be easy. This one's going to be a rough game, but the Ravens have proven that they can win those tough games, those rough games up against MVPs, and the Patriots are going to put up a fight. Ain't no doubt about that. This is going to be one for the ages, I feel. It's going to be a fantastic game to watch. It's going to be, like you said, absolutely crazy. Baltimore loves themselves to host a primetime game. So it's going to be great to have a Baltimore game at night under the lights. It's finally going to feel like football weather, nice and chilly in Baltimore.
Yeah, so, it was like mid-50s during the day. I think it's supposed to cool. It's going to be cool. It's going to be a nice late October day.
That's right.
And especially, it's going to be crisp. It's going to be great, man. It's not going to be any bad weather, no high winds. It's going to be a perfect night for a late October game. We're actually early November at this point.
That's right.
I can't believe we're at the end of October. Jeez, man.
I know. Straight. So I'm going to say 27-24 Ravens. It's going to be a tight one, but hold your breath. It's okay. I think that the Ravens can pull this one out, and it'll be a close one, but the Ravens are coming away with a win.
They are coming away with the win. We both predicted a loss last week, and they won. So hopefully that mean that we both predicted a win this week, and means they lose. Let's not hope that's true.
No, let's not. They don't even say that. Let's not jinx them that way.
But you know what's awesome? I just realized after looking at the schedule, speaking of October going into November, the Ravens had an undefeated October.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, they had an undefeated October. Absolutely.
All right, so let me ask you, with the Halloween season pretty much over, there's a couple days left. Are you a Halloween movie fan? Do you have a favorite movie you watch every October?
That's a great question. I know you're a horror buff, man. You love that stuff. I would have to say Halloween Scary Movie. I'm always a fan of the Saws, right? I mean, you can either pick any one of them.
Okay.
I throw any one of those Saw movies on and watch them. But I feel like I saw the new Halloween last year. Mike Myers is always a good one. I know the old school ones like the Friday 13th and Freddy vs. Jason. I'm going to go with the What always sticks out in my mind was the Rob Zombie remake of Halloween. I think that one just sticks out at me because it's, I don't know why, but I thought that was one of the better ones. But I usually end up watching that at some form or fashion. How about you, man? What's your go-to?
I mean, I always got to go with John Carpenter's Halloween from 1978. It started the slasher genre. So that one I could probably, you know, you probably wouldn't want to watch that movie with me because I would just be like pop-up video and giving you facts every couple seconds about that movie. But, I mean, I love that movie. Awesome. Trick or Treat is a fantastic one. Hocus Pocus. But, you know, if you're a Maryland guy like I am, this is a big year because it is the 20th anniversary of the Blair Witch Project coming out. And a couple weeks ago, I got to go to a screening of the Blair Witch up in Frederick. And the director of that movie was there. And I got to meet him, get his picture and autograph and stuff.
That's awesome.
But there's a lot of people that the Blair Witch Project is not their cup of tea. But me being like the film geek that I am, I absolutely loved it. The way it was filmed, it was guerrilla style, like no script, all bullet points, you know, it took 8 days to film. So I completely dig that movie. And Halloween, Hocus Pocus, Trick or Treat, Blair Witch Project, any of the Halloween movies.
I like the paranormal movies until the end because they get stupid.
Yeah.
But they always creep me out because I've always been one to like if I hear a noise, I'm like, what's that? And I've actually had a few instances where stuff was moved and I'm like, how did that get there?
Right.
Like, I've had it happen to me. So like, really, I'm like, I would definitely love to tell stories right now. But it's
I always
get creeped out when I hear stuff and I'm like, you hear knocking or a door creak, and it's like, it's just, yeah. I always live for that. So, yeah, the paranormal is minus like the last 20 minutes I can live without because I'm like really get stupid. And I'm like, so I don't like them.
If you remember correctly, I think it was last October or the October before that, you and I were recording, and when I was editing, there's another voice in one of our old shows and we couldn't figure out what it was. And to me, it either sounded like it said dad or dead. But if you remember, I texted you as I was editing that night. I can't remember what show. God, I wish I could. But I said like, hey, was there somebody else in the room with you when you were on or talking to me? And you said, no, it was just me. But I took it into a sound person at my work, and they're like, wow, how'd you put that in there? It sounds flawless. And I'm like, I didn't put that in there.
Oh, we got to find that episode now. Oh,
I know.
Man, I wish we'd have marked that one.
We should have. But
was it in October at one point, or was it fall, or was it some random like preseason one?
No, it couldn't have been preseason. It had to have been the fall. It had to be in season. But I wish I would have marked which episode
was it
that
recently
was.
Like last 2 years or was it like,
yeah, it was definitely the last 2 years because I took it in the person that I work on the show I'm editing right now for work. I'm the editor for that show each season. And it was in that, I was editing one of those shows when I brought them in to be like, hey, you got to listen to this. So it's definitely been in the last 2 years, but I can't remember what show it was, but yeah, we've had some paranormal stuff on this show.
Man, we gotta find that up. If anybody heard that in one episode, please let us know what episode that is, please, because I'm dying to know. Oh my gosh, that'd be great. But yeah, it's I can't believe it's November already, man. Wow,
wow.
It's a week 8 of the NFL, it's week 8, yeah, right?
We're halfway there.
Hey, don't go there. But I want to go back to week 1. It just sucks. I'm enjoying the moment, and this is why. You have to enjoy this because looking at the schedule, it's like it's halfway gone. I've already crossed half the calendar out. This is sad. But, but the Ravens, man, they got an opportunity here to push and it all starts. This is the second half, right? Bye week's right in the middle of the season, week 8. And here we go. Or it was week 7, I should say. Ravens have 7 games under their belt, 9 left. This Patriots game right here, we all knew it was going to be a doozy and had a feeling. And again, maybe undefeated, and undefeated they are. And, man, Sunday Night Football in Baltimore, all eyes on this team, all eyes on this game. This is going to be awesome. And just to get the weekend just over with so we can get to Sunday night, it's going to be a big Baltimore party, man. And have to give a shout-out. Wanted to give a shout-out to our good friends, I should say. But we got podcasters coming in from out of town, Ohio, to be exact. They were here a couple years ago. And they wanted to go out to Jimmy's Famous for a great Baltimore meal, and we certainly enjoyed it there. It's Dusty, Will, Justin, and Homer. I'm going to give them a shout out for making the trip. I'm doing a double dip, right? I'm actually going to be accompanying them and going out for Jimmy's seafood to get the weekend started. Right in the middle of the weekend, as a matter of fact, for a nice Jimmy's Famous seafood meal. And then I'm going to be double dipping Jimmy's because I'm actually going to be partaking in the Jimmy's Famous Tailgate Hall of Fame edition on Sunday down at the lots. And we have a special guest on the docket, Mr. Ed Reed, Hall of Famer 19 himself.
That's pretty cool.
It's going to be awesome. Hopefully I get to see him. That's my intent. That's my plan. And dude, that man's going to be full force.
You're gonna be tired before you even get into the game, because they're just going to go absolutely nuts at Jimmy's Famous Tailgate.
Oh yeah, and not only that, but did you see the Sunday night edition? I finally got up for the night game. Did you see the edition?
I did. You're going. I mean, you already do Batman. You're going full out this time around.
Yes, I got the gauntlets. I got the gauntlets that are built in with purple LED lights.
Are they going to let you go in with those on your arm?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see any reason why not. I got to worry about that and scare me like that.
I don't know. Tell me their stories. Like, are those things sharp? I don't know. They're going to be like...
No, it's resin. It's almost like... It's different than my rubber suit or the bat helmet. I mean, they're not sharp at all. I mean, my keys would be a weapon, put it that way. No, but yeah, I finally got the foam inserts ready to go. I'm going to work on my uniform. I'm actually, speaking of that, I'm so amped for this game. After we get done the show this evening, I'm going to take the evening. I'm getting all my gear ready now.
Oh, you're crazy.
I got to put the fancy touches on my gear. I also got to make sure I bring up, because again, with the weather being it, I mean, I'm going to be hot during the tailgate, but then being in the stadium on a cool, crisp night, I got to make sure I take the proper gear in there. And being that I'll be at Jimmy's tailgate, out of my element per se from Lot H back over to the Jimmy's tailgate, I got to make sure I have everything ready to rock. Because, with the festivities on this weekend, with going downtown to Jimmy's, I got to make sure everything's in order, and it's going to be a grand tailgate, man. I'm so excited. But let me share you with this. Did you hear about the spread that they're going to have for Jimmy's Seafood?
I mean, it's always epic. I haven't heard it for this one.
Obviously, with New England, they got the clam chowder on the docket, chicken parmesan. Dude, they got the spreads. I mean, it's Jimmy's. When you go wrong, I don't think you can order anything wrong in that place. What's your favorite dish with them, by the way?
I mean, I go for all the meals. So the Famous Benedict is great for brunch. I'm a big Eggs Benedict fan, but to get it with crab cakes instead of the normal ham, I'm all for it. The new Krabby Chicken, everybody's talking about that stupid Popeye's chicken sandwich or Chick-fil-A or whatever, and they all sold out.
Right.
You all missed the boat. The chicken sandwich with crab on top, that's the sandwich to go for with Jimmy's. I have a friend who loves the lamb chops. I get the Roman Reigns roll for sushi there. That's what I got for my birthday dinner. So, I mean, you can't go wrong. Everything's good. I've had their steamed crabs before for carry out. They're fantastic. You have fun with those guys. Awesome Raven fans from Ohio, bringing the purple love here to Baltimore. And what a game for them to check out. Ravens versus Patriots. Good on them for picking this game to come down.
Oh, man. I mean, hey, if we're going to make a road trip, this is one to do, right? I mean, you couldn't get any better than this in the scenario, in the matchup. And just imagine, the Ravens were to take care of business here. Dude, imagine the ramifications. And, we understand if they lose, it's not all hope is lost, right? They're 5-3. I mean, everybody relax. But, if they were to try to get this here and get this win and get to the 6-2 and beating New England, not only one, but two quality wins in a row, everybody will be on the Ravens. And you know what fans go, well, I like being the underdog, right? But here's a problem we have here, right? If you want to be great and you want to be one of the great teams, you're going to have to be talked about. So we have to lay that to rest a little bit, guys. I know it's great to be the spoiler and the underdog, but right now, nothing beats the Swagger with the Ravens. And, you know, Pete Schreger of Good Morning Football of NFL Network fame actually put this out there. He said, quote, "The Ravens are the Patriots defense's toughest test yet."
I agree.
This is going to be fun.
Absolutely it is. This is going to be a lot of fun. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this Ravens-Pats game?
Ravens-Pats, bye week on by, Sunday Night Football, quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we're always putting out cool stats and photos and videos. And Josh, can you promise everybody out there that you're going to post the meal that you got from Jimmy's on Saturday on our Facebook page?
Yeah, I can certainly do that. Absolutely. Right. No worries.
All right, very cool. Do that. And everybody, we
do. Is that my only condition?
You got to.
Is that my homework?
That's your homework for this weekend.
That's my homework. I handle that.
All right, guys. So we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, get us ready for this blackout. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, blackout. Dude, they're my favorites, aren't they? Aren't they so great?
Do you remember the song Blackout by Head PE?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that one. You got to be blasting that one on Sunday.
Let's do it. Yeah. See, and they usually play the AC/DC Black and Black when every time they come out with that jersey, but maybe we should try to get them to play that song.
Oh, man, that one's a rocker.
Isn't it? Yeah, we should definitely get. Oh, I'll definitely put on the playlist for Sunday. Man, I might even do it tonight while I'm getting my gear ready. I'm so pumped for this game. I share the enthusiasm with every flock member, right? You know, we've been waiting 2 weeks. We saw, the scope of the division change. Brandon, how about the Browns just still landing on their faces, man? And that they lost 3 straight since they beat us. That seems like an anomaly, hasn't it?
But come on, they're the next big thing.
Come on, they're the Browns. Is what they're supposed to do. But it's been great, right? Grinning ear to ear, watching them falter. The Bengals still bungling around. They haven't won a game yet, and they just benched Andy Dalton this week on his birthday.
Oh,
I mean, this division's a shambles. No Ben. He's got a thing on his arm. Looks like the bionic bunny over there. And hey, even though they pulled out a win against the lowly Dolphins. Dolphins had him on the road to 14. Couldn't close out the job there and let them score 27 unanswered. It was embarrassing. But hey, all in all, the Ravens sit atop of this messed up division, AFC North, at 5-2. And there's an opportunity here to really take things to a new level. You think the Seattle game was good, and you think that win was awesome to putting us at 5-2 on the map? Well, how about this? I'm telling you what. Patriots, a victory over this Patriots squad to put them in the loss column for the first time. I mean, hey, this could be a two games in a row of first. We gave Russell Wilson his first interception. It was a pick six, a doozy by Marcus Peters, newest Raven, to make some noise. How about giving the Patriots their first L and really just taking it to a new level and showing the world, because all eyes are going to be on this game. I can't wait to just, it's almost like I can't wait for this team to just get out in the field and Lamar to be shown off in this offense and Marquise be out there and we can just bring it. And Brandon, man, not only that, but just a full performance. I'm ready to get after it. I know everybody's getting after it. And, man, it's going to be a glorious game under the lights. M&T Bank Stadium, back in black. Flock better bring it, because we're going to flock up some Patriots. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high. Sunday Night Football edition.
has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.